You're holding on Hey Amud Aleph, about 8 lines from the end of the narrowest lines, language in Ima. We talked yesterday about the Chet Ha'Egel and about how the Jewish people weren't really, you wouldn't have expected that they would commit the Chet Ha'Egel, but it was orchestrated min hashamayim. So now more on that topic. Omer Rish Lakish, Boyu v'nachzik tov al aviseinu. Come, we should give thanks. We should express our gratitude to our ancestors.
Sheol molehem was orchestrated so that we could.
Well, we said before, so that it should be this way. It should be a kiss and pet. That this way, it should show. It should demonstrate to people that Hashem is going to accept tshuva no matter what, even if it was a tzibur that made a great chil Hashem, even if it was a yachid who doesn't have as much chosin as a tzibur. Yeah. So Rish Lakish says, "Boyu v'nachzik tov al aviseinu. Come, let's express our gratitude to our ancestors, the ones who were there and made the egel. Shul molehein, because if it hadn't been for that, they made the egel and did the savera, onu lo banu la'olam, we would have never come into the world." Now, the Gemara is going to soon explain a different understanding, but right now, to begin with, our understanding is, the Gemara's initial understanding is that Rish Lakish means that we never would have been born, because they would have been on the level of Malachim, and Malachim don't have children, and therefore neither would they, so we wouldn't exist if it hadn't been for them.
We were born because of Rachel.
That's essentially what Rish Lakish is saying, that we owe them gratitude, that if not for them doing the Savera, we wouldn't exist. Now, hold on. So we're gonna get into it, but actually Tosfos begins by pointing out an interesting question. Don't we know the famous thing that Meshama and Basilo argued for a couple of years whether a person is better off being born or not, and eventually they conclude that a person is better off not being created. So what are we saying over here? We should express gratitude that we wouldn't have been created. So Tosfos says at the beginning, when a person is born, you don't know what he's going to end up with. Yes, in that sense, a person would be better off not being born, because you don't know. He might end up being a tzaddik or chas v'shalom the opposite.
How do you come to the conclusion
over there? In the end, they argued about it for a couple of years, and in the end, they concluded that. The Gemara mentions an Erevin. For one thing, I mean, there's more mitzvahs loisa said than mitzvahs asay, so obviously there's more opportunities to mess up. Yeah. Okay, anyway. But when you have a person who has lived a life as a tzaddik, then fakef, it's a good thing that he was born, and it's a good thing for his generation, in fact. So then, in that case, we should express gratitude that we were born in the first place and had that opportunity. Different other mepharshim talk about different other interesting possibilities, including one interesting one that they bring is specifically Rish Lakish saying this. Rish Lakish, we know, was a Baal Teshuva. We know that he was a bandit, etc., and Rabbi Yochanan made a Baal Teshuva out of him. Well, about Baal Teshuva being higher than a tzaddik, then in that case, you don't say on him, Noach lo la'adam shalom nivra, that he's better off not having been created. Adelaide, he's better off having been created. Okay. Anyway.
No, you don't say it for a
So according to that explanation, you wouldn't say it for a tzaddik, but you would say it for a Baal Teshuva.
You would say it for a Baal Teshuva,
because a Baal Teshuva is higher than a tzaddik. You would say that Noach lo la'adam shaloi nivra, that a person is better off not having been born, maybe applies more to a tzaddik rather than to a Baal Teshuva.
Okay.
Anyway, so Rish Lakish is saying that we owe them gratitude that Rish Lakish was a Baal Teshuva, that's the point.
Yochanan,
fine, but this is Rish Lakish speaking. Okay.
And he helped him become a Baal.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. All right. Shel molehein, again, shel molehein lo chotu, because if they hadn't sinned, if they hadn't done the chet ha'egel, onu lo bonu lo olam, then we wouldn't have never come into the world. Shenem, I was the pasuk says, ani amarti elokim atem uvnei elon kochem. Hashem says in Tilim, I said that you are elokim, meaning like malachim. Elokim often means malachim, as we know. Uvnei elyon kochem, and you're all sons, also children of the highest one. Again, bnei elyon is another expression for malachim. However, chibalta masechem. However, you messed up, you acted wrongly, and therefore, as the next passage continues, achen ka'adam tamus en cholo. Therefore, instead, indeed, you're going to die like Adam and like all humans.
Hi, Leiter. What are we saying here? Chassidus says en melech le'am. And here we're saying,
what does that have to do? There would have been an am. They just wouldn't have had children. They would have been like malachim.
It's not an am, it's malachim.
No, it's an am made up of human beings who are on the level of malachim and don't need to have children.
Not human beings.
Yeah.
How can you be a human being?
Hold on, relax. The question is, remember, de'ilei chotu lo havu moldi. So you're telling me then that if the Jewish people were, if the Jewish people had not done this avera of the chet ha'egel, we're saying they wouldn't have had to have children. They would have been on the level of malachim, and that's what Rish Lakish therefore was saying, that we owe them gratitude, the fact that they did that avera. Way back after the Mabul, Hashem says to Noach, and applies to all of Noach's descendants, you be fruitful and multiply. Okay, the answer is Ad Sinai. The answer is for the Jewish people, it would have been, that would have been the case up to Har Sinai. Then would have come, then came Matan Torah. At that point, they were on the level of Malachim. At that point, according to what we're understanding now, they wouldn't have needed to have children anymore. Okay. The question is the Sinai Namiksiv, but after Matan Torah, it also says in Parshas Vaschanan, when Moshe tells them over, when Moshe repeats over what happened by Matan Torah, he says that Hashem told Moshe, Leich emor lahem shuvu lachem la'alechem, go tell them, return to your tents, and return to your tents also means that you're allowed to have relations again. In fact, the Gemara in Beitza and in some other places discusses that from here we learn that when a gzera is made, even though the reason for the gzera has expired, you still need an explicit permission in order to be able to resume it. This is the famous thing that we say, that when the Chachamim make a gzera, for example, even if the original reason for the gzera no longer exists, the gzera is still in effect unless the Chachamim explicitly, we'll learn later on in the Masechta, we'll talk about if it wasn't Pashat Mechalat Tzibur, if it wasn't accepted by the majority of the community, So the same idea though. If Hashem told them before Matan Torah, you have to altig shu elisha, you have to stay away from, you have to, spouses have to separate from each other. Even after Matan Torah, they wouldn't have been allowed to, were it not for the explicit thing, let shuvu lachem la'alechem. So anyway, the point is they're to return to having oina, they're to return to having relations. So l'chora, that means to have children. The answer is no, only with simchas oina. That means that they'd continue having relations. They'd still have the simcha of that, the simcha of being able to have husband and wife relations. But without having children. And as a matter of fact, a couple of achronim bring from here, we have a proof for the idea. You know, in general, I mean, we say that usually having relations is for the purpose of period viribia. But the fact of the matter is, even for example, an older couple or an infertile couple or whatever still have a mitzvah of oina. So the Arizal explains because when a couple has relations and they do it bitara, then it creates ruchnius sticker beings. So therefore, in that sense, we could be saying over here, yes, they could be on the level of Malachim, they don't need to have children, but nevertheless, they would still be creating these ruchniistic beings, these ruchniistic entities, through the relations that they would be having, as opposed to Malachim.
Angels have relations as well? Do they create ruchniistic beings?
Yeah, this is true even now. Yeah, this idea that when a couple has relations and they're the Makadosh Atzmo and the Rishas Tashmish, that even if it doesn't produce physical children, it produces ruchniistic children. It produces malachim. Yes, that still exists now. The Arizal pointed that out, but we have a proof to it from our Gemara over here.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is,
that's what we say in terms of others.
Well, it's part of the idea, right? I mean, the Gemara mentions in Yerushalmi a number of things, why man shouldn't be alone, but right, yeah, that's one of them. Okay, what about, you have a pasuk that says, right there, also after Matan Torah, that Hashem says, L'man yitav lahem v'livneihem v'gomer, in order that it should be good for them and for their children, implying that they're yet going to have children. The answer is what Hashem means is in order that it will be good for them, the adults, as well as the children who are already living now, the children who were born before Matan Torah, not to say that at that point there might not have been, there might never have been children had to be born again, because again, they would have been on the level of Malach. Okay. But what about this that we see that Rish Lakish said, the same Rish Lakish? What does it mean in Parshas Bereishis? It says this is the book of the generations of Adam, etc. Did Adam Rishon actually have a book? What does it mean? What's the Sefer of Adam? Now, it's true. We actually learned in Bava Metzia that there's a Sefer that Shmuel sees over there, the famous Sefer of Adam Rishon, that says Dor Dor V'Chachamav, as the Gemara is going to say over here. But the point of the question is, is it necessarily a book? It could be something that he knew or whatever. So, Melamed Shehero Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAdam Rishon. This teaches us that Hashem showed Adam Rishon Dor Dor V'Dosha. He showed him every generation and its Darshanim, the ones who Darshan the Torah. Dor Dor V'Chachamav, every generation its Chachamim who teach Torah and who pass in Halacha. Dor Dor V'Parnasav, every generation and its Parnasim, its leaders, its Gashmiistic leaders. The point being, in other words, obviously there are going to be children born because those are going to be these Darshim and Chachamim and Parnasim. And
that's also the Avishtha showing.
This is all. The point is that the Avishtha is showing Adam Rishon in advance, so therefore that means that he knew that even after Matan Torah, they're still going to continue to have children. And Kivinchi Gil Adurdisha Rabbi Akiva, when Adam, looking through this, or when he's being shown by Hashem, when he reaches the generation of Rabbi Akiva, and he sees on the one hand the greatness of Rabbi Akiva and Torah, and on the other hand the fact that he was killed by the Romans, that he was one of the Asar Arugim Malchus, Shomach v'Torosev in his after v'misafe. He was happy about Rabbi Akiva's Torah, but he was upset. He was sad about the way he died. Omar, and on that he said the pasuk, the capital Kuf Lamed Tes of Tilim, is even though it's attributed in Tilim to David, Lamaseach for David Mizmer. Nevertheless, the Chachamim had the Kabbalah that the bulk of this capital was composed by Adam Rishon, and then David rewrote it, adapted it, whatever, and it became called Kuf Lamed Tes. Mizmer Lamaseach for David Mizmer Hashem Chakartani Vateda. Many psukim in that capital refer to Adam Rishon. Some of them, the Gemara talks about in Sanhedrin, different other places. So he said on this, he said the pasuk, believe my Yokru Re'echa Keil V'Gomer. To me, how yokru are your re'echa Hashem. So the word yokru actually has a double meaning, and the word re'echa actually has a double meaning. The word yokr can mean heavy and then difficult, and it can also mean honored. And re'echa can mean your friends, your colleagues, and it can also mean your thoughts, meloshen rayon. In fact, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin on the basis of this pasuk that we see that Adam Rishon knew loshen arami because one way of explaining the word yokru and the word re'echa. Or, the Lashon Arami Sipper that he spoke, his common language was Arami. He knew Lashon Kodesh, of course. Yokru and Re'echa are words, according to one way of looking at it, that come from Aramaic that are put into this pasuk, even though it's otherwise a Hebrew pasuk. You have other such examples like that. No, never mind. In that case, Re'echa obviously means your friend, but over here, Re'echa means your thought. That is from an Aramaic expression. Rayon is an Aramaic word for thought. So,
what's Aramaic for Yokru?
Yokru means like heavy, like yokru in Hebrew means, no, so, okay, yokru in Hebrew means precious. In Aramaic, it means heavy, weighty, a burden. So believe my yokru re'echa keil has a double meaning. That it can mean that your friends, meaning the Talmid Chachamim, who are like the friends of Hashem Kavyachol, are very honored. This is referring to Rabbi Akiva's Torah. On the other hand, how heavy are your thoughts, Hashem, that you found it appropriate that Rabbi Akiva should die the way he did, even though we human beings can't possibly understand it. So that's what we see, that he was happy with Rabbi Akiva's Torah, but saddened by his death. Anyway, the point...
Abishah
didn't answer him the same way he didn't answer Moshe Rabbeinu. Ultimately, we're going to learn in Menachos, we'll learn in a few months, as the Shem in Menachos, that the Malachim complained about it, and Hashem said, be quiet, this is what I had in mind, yeah? So that's the point being, in other words, that we see that Rabbi Akiva, that we see that Adam Rishon was shown all the generations to come, including Rabbi Akiva, who was long after Matan Torah. So obviously, therefore, Rabbi Akiva had to be born necessarily, whether the Jewish people made the Egel or not. So how can Rish Lakish be saying that if it hadn't been for the Chet Egel, there wouldn't have had to be anybody born anymore?
Rabbi Akiva came from Gary.
It doesn't matter. He's still a Jew. He still has a Jewish neshama. And the Omer of Yossi, furthermore, Rabbi Yossi says, in Ben David ba'ad sheyichlu neshamas shebaguf, Ben David, meaning Mashiach, will not come until all the neshamas in guf are used up. Guf is the Rashi explains over here and in other places, is the oitzer, is the treasury where the neshamas are kept. So when all the neshamas in guf are used up, then that's when Mashiach will come. Tosfos, by the way, points out that the Jewish people and the Goyim have different gufs. They have different sources for their neshamas. We know a Yid has a nefesh elikis, that's chelik elikami ma'al mamash. A Goy doesn't. So therefore, we can't say that because the fact that now there are billions of Goyim in the world, therefore it's already yichlu neshamas shebe guf. No, we're talking about Jewish neshamas. With that said, Tosfos talks about in other places, so what does it mean? What about we know Mashiach can come sooner than that? So one Tosfos talks about elsewhere, I think in Nida, that you can have, that a woman can have multiple births, and that way that speeds things up. Other Mephoshim talk about the idea, we know, just like the Gemara mentions in the Gemara someplace that mentions that Moshe is equivalent to the whole Jewish people. His neshama is equivalent to the whole 600,000, and not the Chassidus. We understand that his was a neshama klolis, so the same thing. It can mean that there's more neshamas klolis born, and therefore guf empties out faster. Whatever it is. The point is that obviously, Shanem, so the point is obviously, all the children have to continue, Jewish children have to continue being born in order that Mashiach will eventually come. Shanem, the pasuk says, Ki lo la olam oriv, Hashem says, I will not argue with the Jewish people forever, and I won't forever be angry at them to keep them in Golos. Ki ruach milafana yatev, eventually, the ruach that is before me, meaning the neshamas, from me, Yatov is being delayed. That's what's delaying the Geula. Or Neshamas, and the Neshamas that I made, which are waiting to come into body. Kiruach Melefana Yatif, because the Ruach that is before me, Yatif, makes things delayed until Neshamas and Yotisi, until all the Neshamas. Rashi explains that Yatif comes from a word meaning delayed, because of Neshamas and Yotisi, because there are the Neshamas that I made that are still waiting for to be born. The point being, again, that we see, the point is we see that children have to be born in order for Mashiach to come.
Right.
And therefore, so how can we...
So
say, how
it's
can,
the Ruach, if the children makes delays.
The point is, ki Ruach melefana yatif, the Ruach asher lefanai, the Ruach, the spirit that I have before me, that I feel this has to be done, Hashem says, neshamas shabaguf yatif, the neshamas in the guf, is what causes the delay. It makes them delayed. The fact that Hashem has this Ruach, this spirit, this idea, so to speak, that the neshamas have to all be born, that guf has to be emptied out, yeah. The point being, again, that children have to be born, so even after Matan Torah, even before the Chet Egel, so how can Rish Lakish be saying that we should show gratitude that if not for them, we wouldn't exist? What does that mean? So no, don't say that what Rish Lakish said is we would have never come into the world, in other words, we never would have been born. Rather, what Rish Lakish meant to say is, yes, of course we would have been born. Yes, we're rejecting everything that we said before. Never mind all the explanations we said before. Yes, the Jewish people would have continued to have children. They wouldn't just have had Simchas Ona. They would have continued to have children, not just the ones who were there by Har Sinai, etc. What we mean is that it's as if we wouldn't have been in the world, because if the people who were there by Matan Torah would have lived forever, what would we be? What would we be compared to them? We'd be like nothing. So therefore, we owe them a debt.
We would still be here.
We would still be born, but they would still be alive all the way from Matan Torah, and therefore they would dwarf us. They would be so much greater than us that we would be like nothing. In that sense, it would be as if like we never came into the world. There would be nothing for us to accomplish.
Theoretical, because by then Mashiach would be here.
We don't know, but the point is that whenever Mashiach comes, he comes. But the point is that any future generation would have been very little compared to the generation of Matan Torah, and therefore the Shlokas is saying we owe them a debt of gratitude that now we have what to accomplish in the world.
Either way, we're little. Whether
we're much littler, but like this, compared to them, we would have nothing left to accomplish, because they would accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished. Like this, they eventually pass away with their avodah still incomplete, and we have what to accomplish.
What do we have to accomplish?
We have a lot to accomplish eventually to bring Mashiach. But
that's all that's left.
Fine, okay, but in each generation, there's avodah to do. So yeah, that's what he's saying. There's a couple of other different explanations about it. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz talks about in his sefer Yaris Dvash, he says the vort is that we said before Hashem forgave them for the Chet Egel. Well, that should have meant, we're just saying over here, that if it hadn't been for the Chet Egel, they would have lived forever. Well, after Hashem forgave them, it should have also been that they should have lived forever. They voluntarily were willing to accept that, no, we're going to be like regular human beings again. We're going to die, and eventually our children will take over. And that was a favor to us. That's Boyer Benachet, Tevelaem. We owe them a debt of gratitude, because they could have chosen to live forever, and then we wouldn't have anything left to accomplish. And like this, they voluntarily said that we'll leave way for our children.
Where did you get
that? This is Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz says this in his paper, Yaris Dvash.
They electively...
even after the Chet Egel, they voluntarily accepted on themselves that we're going to have to die for our ultimate kapara, and therefore that leaves room for us. Okay. So the question is, remember, do you like chotu lehav amaisi? So are you telling me that if the Jewish people hadn't sinned, if they hadn't made the Egel, they never would have died? But you have in the Torah, you have the story, you have the mitzvah over there of Yibum, if a person dies childless, the mitzvah of Nachlos, which also discusses the case where a person dies childless and his brothers inherit him or whatever. And you can't say that those mitzvahs hadn't been given yet. We know all the mitzvahs were originally given by Matan Torah. So how is that? The answer is Altanai. They were given on condition. They were given conditionally. If the Jewish people ever are in a state where people are dying again, then you may have the situation of Yibum or the situation of
Ratna.
But otherwise not, yeah. The question is, where do you find that Psukim are written based on a Tanai? The answer is Ain. Yes, as a matter of fact, we do. Dehachi Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, as in fact we had the other day, that Rav Shimon Lakish says, "My dichtiv vayerev vayvoker yom hashishi." What does it mean at the end of Maisa Bereishis? It says it was evening, it was morning, the sixth day, where again, by all the other ones, as we said the other day, it only says Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, etc., without the hay. What does the extra hay add? Melamed shehisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. This means that Hashem made a condition with Ma'aseh Bereishis, V'omar, and he said, "Imakablin Yisrael HaTorah Mutav," if the Jewish people accept the Torah good, "V'imlav Achzer Eschem HaTorah Vavayu," and if not, then I will return you back to Torah Vavayu. So we see that a pasuk is written out tonight. depending whether the Jewish people, in other words, the question basically is, some of the Mephoshim explain the question that how could there be a Pasuk Al Tanai? Hashem knows the future. And the answer is, again, as we said before, HaKol B'Yidei Shamayim Chutz M'Yiras Shamayim, Hashem doesn't, even though Hashem knows, his Yediyah doesn't force the Bechira one way or the other. We still have Bechira whether to do the right thing or not. So therefore, in that sense, there's going to be a Pasuk Al Tanai because Hashem leaves us in our hands. So if they had not made the Egel, then the Parshas Yevamim and Parshas Nachos would be only theoretical, because they actually did end up making the Egel, and therefore the Jewish people became mortal again, therefore those mitzvahs actually come into practice.
You have Yerna Dachas as well, no? Which is also all Tanai. Like, it never really came
this
into fruition.
This is also true. Well, it's a different kind of thing, right? But yeah, I guess it's
right.
A
so, like, Tanai,
idea.
This Tanai is like all is like more the larger scale. Like, they're not going to be
dying
at all.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I guess The difference is, The difference is that Irani Dachas is you need all of the conditions to be fulfilled for it to happen, as it talks about at the end of Sanhedrin. Ki sishma ba'chasarecha, should it happen that you hear in one of your cities and all of the criteria come true or whatever, then you do the Irani Dachas. Here it's just ish ki yomo suvenein loy, when a person dies and he has no son, as if like it's an expected thing. And the same thing with Parshas Yevamim. But yes, it's al Tanai, because ultimately the bechira is in a person's hand. Okay. Maitre, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction to all this. You're saying then that the Jewish people wouldn't have died if it hadn't been for the Chet HaEgel, but if the Pasuk says, Mi Yitzein, Hashem says, if only someone would give, in other words, it would that it were possible, V'hoya Levavam Zelohem, that they should still continue to have this heart to fear Hashem, and the Pasuk continues, now, so what does that mean? What is Hashem saying over there? He's saying like this, Levatam mem Malach HaMavis Eepsha. Hashem is saying it's impossible to remove the fact that the Malach HaMavis should have power over them. It's impossible that the Malach HaMavis should no longer have power over them, Shekhar Nigzera Gzera, because the Gzera already exists from the Chesed Tadas, that people have to die. When Hashem is saying over here, okay, the whole pasuk goes like this. You can see it on the side over here. You can see it on the side over here. It's Otora or Hashalom Tes. Mi yitin v'hoyel avavam zelahem the yiroi. If only it were possible that they would have this heart for them to fear me, v'lishmer es kamitz vayse kolayom, and to keep all my mitzvahs forever. L'man yitav lahem v'lifneim ma'olam, in order that should be good for them and their children forever. So we're explaining, what does Hashem mean by this pasuk? He's saying like this, what is this good that I would want to give them forever? It can't mean to get rid of the Malach, it can't mean the Malach HaMavis will have no power over them. Shekman nigzer gzera, because the gzera of that people have to die has already been made. Holy kibli, Yisrael HaTorah. So what was accomplished when the Jewish people accepted the Torah? What was the schar that came along with it? Not that they're going to get schar in Olam Hazeh, that they're never going to die. The schar rather in this world would not be, the schar would be in this world, but it wouldn't be that they're never going to die. It would be that no nation or no other speakers of any language would ever dominate over them.
That contradicts what you said about Rabbi Yonatan Upshitz, who said that they chose.
This is after the Chet HaEgel they chose, we're talking about. This is before the Chet HaEgel. This is before the Chet HaEgel we're talking about. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, L'man yitav lahem v'lifneim ad olam, in order that it should be good for them and for their children forever. In other words, the implication is that the good that Hashem is talking about, that I would want to give them forever, as long as they still keep this mentality of fearing Hashem and keeping the mitzvahs, would be not that they wouldn't die, but that no other nation would ever dominate them, would ever rule over them. So we see that they would have died regardless. The answer is Huda Amaki Hai Tana. Yes, but Rish Lakish has a different Tana that he can follow. Yes, we have this Braisa that we just quoted, but we have a different Braisa that learns it differently. The Tanya of Yoyti Yomer, Loi Kibli Yisrael as a Torah, the Jewish people did not accept the Torah, Ella only, in other words, what was the schar in Elam Hazeh, Kadesh Lo Yeh Malach HaMavis Shrelef Behem, that the Malach HaMavis shouldn't rule over them, in other words, that they should never die. Shenema, Niyamarti Elakim Asim Uvnei Elin Kochem, again, the pasuk that we quoted earlier on the Yomud, from Tilim, I had wanted to say that you are Elakim, you are like Malachim, Uvnei Elin Kochem, and you're all sons of Hashem, again, meaning Malachim. But chibaltem maaseichem, but you messed up, you acted badly. Therefore, achin kadam to Muslim. Therefore, the next passage continues. Nevertheless, you will die like Adam, like any human being. So we see, we have a machlokes tanoim. So we have a machlokes tanoim. In other words, Rish Lakish is following one opinion that says that they never would have died. The other Tana from the first Braisa says yes, they would have died. All it is they never would have had. Yeah, they would have never had the nations ruling over them. Okay, the question is, Rabbi Yossi Nami Haksiv Laman Yitab Lahem B'Levneim Ad Olam. What does Rabbi Yossi do with the pasuk from Chumash that we just quoted, that Hashem said to do good for them and for their children forever, implying Chora Tova Hu Dahav Yaham Misa Ika, implying, yes, they would have a lot of good, but they would still be dying. The Gemara is assuming that Tova means something short of living forever, because otherwise the pasuk should have said, you, in order that you should live forever, or some expression like that. The fact that it just says, Laman Yitab Lahem B'Levneim Ad Olam, seems to imply that Hashem is saying to live forever is not on the table, but you'll have Toiva as long as you're alive. So what does Rabbi Yossi do with that? The answer is Rabbi Yossi Amalach. The answer is Rabbi Yossi can answer you very simple. No, kiven de lekka misa in lecha Toiva gdoi lemizu. The fact is, if there's no death, that is the ultimate good. Okay, so it's not spelled out in so many words that they would have lived forever. We have to learn that from the pasuk in Tehillim, says Rabbi Yossi. But nevertheless,
he would not have died. That's the ultimate good.
No, yeah, that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. The ultimate good that Hashem could promise is that people will never die. So therefore, when he says Laman Yitav Lahem Levneim La'olam, that includes that they wouldn't have that includes that they wouldn't have died. So therefore, yeah. Okay.
So it's between
two Tanayim. So Rosh Lakish picked one side, yeah. Okay, well, Tanakama Nami Hoksiv Ochen Kadim Tumusun. Fine, what does the Tanakama do with the Pasuk Ochen Kadim Tumusun, which implies that before the Cheta Egel they weren't susceptible to dying, and after it they were? If according to the Tanakama, either way, that offer wasn't on the table. The answer is my Misa Anius. You could answer that Misa in this Pasuk Ochen Kadim Tumusun means becoming poor. So we're saying, the Tanakhama is saying that from the first Braisa, that if it hadn't been for the Cheta Egel, no other nation would ever rule over the Jewish people. Like this, in other words, after the Cheta Egel, we have Goyim ruling over us, and they end up taking taxes and otherwise stripping the Jewish people of their freedom, and well, more to the point, of their mama and of their possessions. Rashi refers to a pasuk over here, V'ho Yalecha, as the pasuk says in Parshas Nitzavim, that the Jewish people are going to be devoured by their enemies. You know, their possessions are going to be taken away. That only happened as a result of the Cheta Egel. So therefore, so what the pasuk is saying is, had it not been for the Cheta Egel, you wouldn't have that kind of tumusim. You wouldn't have that kind of becoming poor as a result of the rapaciousness of the Goyim. Now, like this, you do. And how do we see that anius? How do we see that poverty can be called misa? The omamah, because we learn in a braisa, avach hashovim kmesim. There's four types of people who are considered like dead. Eluhein, oni, suma, umetzora, umishein lebanim. A poor person, a blind person, a person with tzaras, and one who doesn't have any children. How do we see each one of those?
Anim includes fathers.
Right? Yeah, of course. Oni dichtiv, how do we know that a poor person is considered like a dead person? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, Hashem tells Moshe, it's safe to return to Mitzrayim after all these years by Yisrael. Kimesu kol anoshim, because all the people who are after you, all the people who are trying to get you killed, are dead. And we have to ask, who are those people? Uman minu, dasan ravira. The people who were after him in the first place, the people who mastered on him to Paray, are none other than dasan ravira. So we have to ask, well, me mesu? They didn't die, mehavu havu. They were still alive. They were still alive much later, at the time of the, they only finally got swallowed up into the ground after the affair of Korach, which was much later. Ela sheyodim inechseim. So we have to say it must mean that they lost their wealth, and therefore, in that sense, they're considered like dead. Now, therefore, we can see that being poor is like being dead. Now, Tosfos discusses over here, you could say, why don't we say one of the other three things? Maybe they were blind. Maybe they had tzaras. Maybe they didn't have children. So Tosfos starts out, first of all, by saying that the fact is we see they did have their sight, because later on during the story of Korach, they say even if you would put out our eyes, we're still not going to come. And so we see that they could see. They weren't Mitzoroyim because they lived within the Machna. Even if you're going to say they were healed by Matan Torah, they still would have gotten it back by the Cheta Egel. And Tosfos anyway also explains that the point is, you can't say it's that they didn't have children, because that wouldn't prevent them. The whole point is that Hashem is saying to Moshe, they no longer have any influence at court, therefore they won't be able to talk to Paray and get him to execute you or whatever, because so what if it's just that they don't have children, that wouldn't give them less influence at court. So by elimination, also Tosfos says, the fact is, even if you were to argue they were blind or they had tzaras, still, they could hire people to master on him. Only if we say they're poor, then that means that's it. They've lost their influence, so therefore, by elimination, that's what it has to mean.
And that's what happened.
That's what happened, yeah. So therefore, we see that an Oni is considered like a... Okay.
Where did we see that the Oni was considered like a...
Well, the Gemara discusses it in Nedarim. The Nedarim discusses this in a different connection, yeah. Okay, fine. Summa, where do we see a blind person is considered like dead? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, V'machshakim hoshivani kimeze olam. He put me, made me sit in darkness like the ones who are dead forever. So a blind person is like a dead person. Mitzoda, Dichtiv, because you have a Pasuk when Miriam got Sarah, and Aaron pleads with Moshe to daven for her, Al na tihi kameis, let her not be like a dead person. So we see she was, other, if she had, the fact that she has Sarah is like she's dead. Misha in Lebanim, and a person who doesn't have children, Dichtiv, Havali Bonim, Mim Ayin Mesa Anochi. You find that Rachel says to Yaakov, give me children, and will daven on my behalf, and if not, then I am dead. So if she's childless, then that's why she's dead. Yeah. So there we go. So the point is, again, so the Tanakhama would understand the Pasuk Achen Ka'odim Temusun as meaning not that you died as a result of the Chata Egel, and if it hadn't been for that, you would have lived forever. You wouldn't have become poor if it hadn't been for the Chata Egel. Going back, by the way, I missed out before when we were talking about the Kiruach Melefana Yatov, and you were saying that it's hard to understand how we're parsing the Pasuk. Tosfos points out that Mashiach is called Ruach, Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. So therefore, what it means is Kiruach Melefana Yatov, the Ruach of Mashiach, is delayed because of Neshamas, and Yosisi because of Neshamas that I made that are still waiting to be born. That's the part. Okay.
Ruach,
all right,
is the name.
Ruach is another word for Mashiach. Okay. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We learn in a Braisa, in this connection, talking about that the Jewish people were supposed to have kept Torah and Mitzvahs, and Hashem expected that they would. The Pasuk says, Im b'chokoyse keilechu, if you go in my chukim. So sometimes, many times in the Torah, if means it's an optional thing, but we know it's not optional to keep Torah and Mitzvahs. It means, ein im elaloshim tachnunim. The im over here is an expression of pleading. Hashem says, please walk in my chukim. And thus we find other psukim where it also expresses the same idea that Hashem pleads with us to do the right thing. You have a pasuk in Tehillim in the same capital that we're actually the previous capital than we were quoting before. Lu ami shemei ali v'gomer. If lu means like in later Hebrew halavai, if only my people would listen to me, then Hashem continues, then I would give them all the different kinds of good. Timate ve machnia, then I would subjugate their enemies in a short time, in a moment. The Omer, and you have another pasuk similarly, Lu hikshavt l'mitzvotai, if only Lu hikshavt l'mitzvotai, if only you would listen to my mitzvot, vayihi kanor shlemecha v'gomer, then your peace would be flowing constantly like a river v'gomer, and the next pasuk continues, vayihi kechil zarecha, your children would be like the sand, v'tzatzoy me'echa v'gomer, and the descendants of your womb would be a multitude. So Hashem is saying, Lu in all these pasukim means if only. So Hashem is pleading that we should do the right thing so that he can give us brachas.
And we're stubborn.
Yeah. Okay, well, that brings us to the next thing. Tanan Abanan. When the Pasuk says, so this Pasuk that we quoted before, Mi Yitin V'Hoyo Levavam Zelahem, that Hashem is saying if only they would continue to have this heart that they had by Matan Torah to fear Hashem and to keep the mitzvahs. So what does this mean?
We're saying that just did it in a way to survive, but that explanation was rejected.
We've quoted the pasuk a few times already. This pasuk, we quoted it first in connection with the idea that the Jewish people shouldn't have been susceptible to the Chetah Egel, but it was orchestrated min Hashemayim, or that Hashem took away the protection they would usually have from the Yetzer Hara or whatever. Then we quoted it further on. We quoted it in connection with when we thought that Rish Lakish was saying that had it not been for the Chetah Egel, people wouldn't have needed to have children. We quoted it in that connection also.
But didn't we say that they accepted the Matan Torah because of they thought that they would live forever? Isn't that?
No. We didn't say that. We said, well, again, we had two different opinions. But we're not saying they accepted the Torah because they thought that. Hashem's original intention was that they would have that kind of schar and al-mazah, either to live forever or to be free of the goyim, as the case may be. Okay.
They didn't know about that?
Maybe they knew, maybe they didn't. But so like this, Moshe now in Parshas Vayeshanan, when he's 40 years later, he's telling them what happened after Matan Torah. He tells them that Hashem said, Mi yitin v'hoyo levavam zelahem. And actually, it's not just Moshe is not telling them this as a new thing. We're going to see later on that Moshe hints at them something about it later on. But this, they actually, anybody who was there by Matan Torah afterwards knew that Hashem said this, that Hashem said, halavai, they would continue to have this heart. So, Amalan Moshe Yisrael, so it means Moshe is telling the Jewish people, Kfuye Tova b'nei Kfuye Tova, you ungrateful people, the sons of ungrateful people.
Kfuye?
Kfuye Tova means ungrateful. It means ungrateful people. Meaning, what happened? B'shar sh'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Yisrael miyitin v'hayal v'avam zelahem. At this point, right after Matan Torah, when Hashem says, if only it were possible for them to have this heart, to fear Hashem forever, hayal lahem lemer, teinata. They should have, at that point, they should have spoken up and said, okay, Hashem, you give us that. You're saying halavaya could happen.
Give us
the heart to fear you always. Now, of course, what do you do with the fact? What do you do with the chiruch hafshis?
Right.
So Marsha explained. Nevertheless, fine, the chiruch hafshis. We know that Hashem has the power to do it. Hashem chooses not to because He chooses to give us the chiruch. But if the Jewish people had asked for it, they might well have gotten it. The same way as, for example, we talk about when it comes. No, but the same way, for example, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, you have people over there who complain, Lama Nigora, and Hashem gave them. So the same way, if they had asked for, you know what, yes, Hashem, you want us to always fear you, you want us to always be on that level, fine, you give us the ability to do that. And the fact...
Away, Bechira?
It would have been a different kind of Bechira. You know what, it's similar to, you know, and in some places, usually we say Malachim have no Bechira. But sometimes we talk about that they have kind of a higher level of bechira. It's not a question whether to do averus or to do mitzvahs, but rather what level to be on. The Rebbe talked about it also in connection with when Mashiach comes. That we know as ruach hatoma avim in aretz. On the other hand, a person is still a human being. What is it? The choice isn't going to be between doing bad and doing good. The choice is going to be between doing good and doing better.
Because for them, Hashem is the Gilui. They have no...
That's the point. So they should have said at that point, okay, Hashem, make it happen. You want it to happen. Everything's in your hands. Make it happen. The fact that they didn't, therefore, so Rashi just says that they don't give credit where credit is due. Tosfos spells out, in other words, what it means is, why is Moshe calling them Kfuya Tova? Why is he calling them ingrates for missing this chance? Because why did they miss the chance? Why didn't they ask for it? Because then they would owe Hashem a favor. Then not they would owe Hashem gratitude, and they didn't want to owe Hashem gratitude for that. So that's Moshe is holding that against them.
It can be said on that side, but on the other side, it can also be said that they feared a rebuke from the Eivishter by asking such
no,
a question.
No, the same way as the people with Pesach Sheni. Hashem said, you're potter from the mitzvah. That's it. Or what gives them the brave type
this is
the same kind of thing. This is the ability to constantly do mitzvahs and not do averus. They should have asked Hashem for that. If Hashem had wanted to say no, fine, he would have said no, but they should have taken the chance, knowing that it's the most important thing.
The whole purpose of the creation was to...
Is lasis lo yisbarach dida v'tachtonim. This would help make the oldest dida v'tachtonim.
Not, you know, not out of knowing that the Eibishter is the Eibishter, the Gilui.
That could also be that it would still be down here on Earth, and it would be made that way. But no, they should have asked for it, is the point. And the fact that they didn't, Tosfos is saying, is because they didn't want to have to be grateful for it. They didn't want to have this favor, which they'd have to be grateful for. So that's why Moshe is calling them. That's how Tosfos understands our Gemara. Marsha explains it a little bit differently. That what it is. The very fact that they didn't consider this to be the ultimate favor that their Yetzer Hara should be taken away, that they should naturally have a fear for Hashem, that itself shows ingratitude. Like you don't recognize when you're being offered a favor, you don't recognize it even as a favor. That they didn't recognize it as a positive thing.
They were offered a favor like that.
They were offered. When Hashem says, "Mi yitin v'hayol avavam," they should have answered. The very fact that Hashem is saying that is almost like prompting them to say, "Nu." Yes, so almost like just like we have after the Chet Ha'Egel by Yechal Moshe, right? So you have over there that Hashem says, "Leave me alone and let me destroy them." And Moshe's not preventing him, but when Moshe heard the word, "Leave me alone," he understood. He deduced from that Hashem meant, as long as you're here, as long as you're davening on behalf of them, then I can't do anything. So therefore, in that case, Moshe says, okay, it depends on me, and Vayichal Moshe. So over here also, when they hear Hashem saying, Mi yitin v'hoya l'vavam zelahem, they should have immediately realized, they should have immediately caught the implication. It means that Hashem is expecting them to ask for it. And they didn't. So that's their kriya tova. And furthermore, their kriya tova, it's not just a one-time thing that they're ungrateful. We see another example where they're ungrateful. Dichtiv, because you have later on in the Torah, when it talks about the mon, v'nafshenu kotzav alechem achloiko, our souls are disgusted by this insubstantial bread, the mon, because they were concerned that it doesn't produce any waste, so it's eventually going to spoil inside them, whatever. So we see that they're complaining about the mon, which was the best possible thing. And b'nei kfuya tova, in what sense can we say that Jewish people are the sons of ungrateful people? Dichtiv, the ungrateful person, is other Menashin. Dichtiv, Ha'isha Shenasati Imadi, that Adam says, the woman who you put with me, he nasnali mina eitzva, she gave me from the tree and I ate, which means, and again, he's blaming what he did wrong, he's blaming on the gift that Hashem gave him, where Hashem gave him Chava to be an Ezek Negda, and and Marsha says it's the same kind of thing, that was saying that Adam didn't recognize the greatness of the gift that Hashem gave him, and instead he thought of it as just a bother and something that the one that tempted him or whatever. And the same way, the Jewish people don't recognize the greatness of the gift that Hashem is offering them in the word Miyit and V'hayol Avaram Zalahem, and therefore they didn't take up the offer.
Do they sense when they refuse the offer that the Eibishter, just like in the case of Chava, made it likely that they would commit Chet Ha'egel?
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know if they sensed it. Well, wait. Af Moshe Rabbeinu lo romz alehem liYisrael alo achaboyim shana. Even Moshe Rabbeinu did not hint this toichacha, this rebuke to the Jewish people for missing that opportunity until after 40 years. Shenem, I was supposed to say, Va'olach eschem abinbar aboyim shana, aboyim shana abinbar. I led you for 40 years in the desert, Moshe says, near at the very end of Parshas Kitzavoy. And you have in the psukim over there, Hashem did not give you a heart, that you didn't have the heart to understand that you should realize what's being offered to you and to be able to take it off. So Rashi learns, therefore, that it means that actually Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't realize the full implication of this until after the 40 years had passed. That, look at this, Hashem gave you this offer, and you didn't take advantage of it.
He didn't.
So that's the Tosfos that's the question. Tosfos asks the question, if Moshe himself didn't realize the implication of that, then how can you blame the people?
Right.
So Tosfos answers, because as the Gemara is going to say now that it takes time until Koi Inish Adaita Dirabe. It takes 40 years, the Gemara is going to say, for a person to realize the full implication of what his Rebbe taught. Well, Moshe was on a higher level than that. He didn't need this. So that's the thing. The Jewish people, Moshe didn't need that at this point. When Hashem is saying, Miyitin v'hoyol v'avam zelahem, Moshe was already on the level that he didn't need that. But that's the thing. But the Jewish people who needed this kind of thing, they should have realized right away. They should have realized long before 40 years are up what an opportunity they missed. Because already, you see, during the 40 years, they did the Egel, they did the Meraglim or whatever. So they should, at some point during the 40 years, they should have thought to themselves, you know, look at that. What an opportunity we missed. And therefore, so Moshe is finally, they never chastuk on it. So therefore, finally, after 40 years, Moshe is telling them that you never realized this yourself. Why? Because you're Kriya Tova. Because that's the thing. So at the time, they should have taken up the opportunity. They didn't.
They should have come and given it to them.
No, Hashem gave it to them. An opportunity, only not one. They didn't realize, well, then it's too late. But in other words, the point is, Moshe is figuring, sometime during these 40 years to come, you will eventually one day wake up and say, you know, look at this. We had an opportunity to be rid of our Yetzirah, and we would have fashbored ourselves all these troubles, and we never did. So now, at the end of the 40 years, finally Moshe is telling them what's going on over here.
Make after 40 years, by the way.
That now you should understand. You should realize how ungrateful you were all this time. That not only you missed the opportunity, but you never even thought again at some point to ask the opportunity. And Marsha explains still differently. Marsha explains the remez is that Moshe is informing them something which apparently they didn't realize all this time, that Hashem has the ability to make them be Yirei Shemayim. They didn't realize the implication after Matan Torah when Hashem says Mi Yitin V'Hoyol Avavam Delahem. They didn't realize the implication. So now, all these years later, Moshe is explaining to them, this is the implication you should have understood, and you didn't understand it all this time.
So if that's the case, why do we call them Kriyam?
Because ultimately, the point is, if it had been important to them, then they would have thought, when something is important to you, this is, you know, the famous thing they say, for example, in a Din Torah, that women, Ame'oretz, whatever, people who don't know anything about Lomdus can come up with all kinds of complicated arguments in favor of their position because it's Negea to them. So if it was really Negea, they would have thought of it, but it wasn't because they were Kriya Tova, because they were ungrateful, either like Rashi and Tosfos are saying, they didn't want to have to be grateful to Hashem for it, or like Marsha says, because they didn't even realize that what they're being offered, they didn't even realize that what they're being offered is a great favor.
That seems to be contradictory on one hand to say that they were ungrateful, and on the other hand say at the same time they didn't realize.
If they had given it some thought, they would have realized what a great favor they're being offered.
So they did realize.
So they didn't act on it. Right. Okay. This favor would have been that they would have been liyuda oisi kol hayomim, that they would always fear Hashem. They wouldn't have that they wouldn't have a yetzer hara. Later on they did well, because the result of this was because after Matan Torah Hashem made them this offer, that by implication Hashem is saying miyitin v'hoyel avavam zelahem, they should have asked at that point, like the people by Pesach Sheni or whatever, loma nigora, fine, give us the opportunity. They didn't, so therefore the opportunity was lost. Therefore they were able later on, they were susceptible to the chet ha'egel and so forth. Yeah.
Did they realize what they lost 40 years later?
Now when Moshe told it to them, they realized. Now Moshe says to them, after all these years, Hashem didn't give you a heart to understand, etc. Omer Rabba, so Rabba says in this connection, Shmamino, we see from this, a person does not fully realize the whole das of what his Rebbe is explaining until 40 years, because we see that took 40 years that only after 40 years does Moshe explain to them what the implication of it is.
And that shows that it could have been much more.
It shows that they could have done it
after 40 years.
Because they didn't figure it out themselves all this time.
Yes,
so that,
and if he hadn't told them, they would have been left maybe 100 years.
No. After 40 years, Moshe tells them, he's not telling them in so many words, you missed the opportunity. He's saying you didn't have a heart to understand, from which they can deduce, where did we not have a heart to understand back then when Hashem made us that offer and we missed it. So we see that after 40 years,
he told them,
and then he gave them a remez, and they were able to finally pick up on the remez. That's the point. Okay. They talk about different beforeshim, talk about Tosfos themselves, talk about later on in the Perek when we say Ada Boin Shnina, we're talking about until a person is 40 years old or until 40 years from when they heard the teaching from their Rebbe. On the face of it, here we're talking about 40 years from when they heard the teaching, because otherwise you had people who were of all different ages by Matan Torah. But you could say that by Matan Torah they were all Kekot and Shenola Domi, it's as if they were reborn, so therefore in that sense you could still say whatever you have. Yeah. That's the point. Now that Moshe is telling them, now when he tells them that, they're able to put two and two together and realize But now, after 40 years after they heard it from Matan Torah, now they're able, anybody who was alive 40 years earlier, now, I mean, the people between 20 and 60 died in the Midbar anyway, we're talking about the kids below 20, or we're talking about the adults above 60, but the old people above 60, or Shevet Levi.
It seems hard to figure out that during Matan Torah, the Neshamas left them, and they went up to heaven, and they came back, and then they couldn't understand a thing like that.
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
That's why we're calling them Kriya Tova. All right, let's go on. Omer Rav Yechon Mishum Rabbana. My dichtiv, what does it mean? It says in a pasuk, Ashreichem Zorei Al Komayim, happy are all of you who plant by all the water, Meshalchei Regel Asher V'achamor, who send loose the feet of the ox and the donkey. So what does that mean? Ashreihem Yisrael means happy are the Jewish people, Bizman Sha'oiskin B'Torah V'Milch Chasadim, at a time when they are Oisik, when they are involved with Torah and with Milch Chasadim, which when we say Zorei, planting, refers to Tzedakah, Zorei at Tzedakahs, Mayim refers to Torah, in Mayim ala Torah. So when you have Torah and Milch Chasadim, then Yitzra Masu B'Yadam, then your Yitzhahara is under your control. Because the Meshalchei Regel, so Rashi and Tosfos both explain that Meshalchei means to send away, and Regel means the foot of the Yetzer Hara, because the Yetzer Hara comes originally as a guest, and then if you let him take up residence, then eventually he becomes the master of the house, kind of. But to begin with, he's a Regel, he's a foot of a wanderer. And then therefore, so if you have doctor, if you have Torah and Mosafadim, then you have Meshalchei Regel, you're able to send away that foot. then the person is not under the control of their Yetzirah. Shenema Ashreichem Zorei Akomayim. Ve'ein Zriya L'Tzedakah. The word planting refers to Tzedakah. Shenema Ziru L'Chem L'Tzedakah V'Kitzru L'Fi Chesed. Plant for yourself Tzedakah and reap a harvest according to Chesed. Ve'ein Mayim L'Torah. And Mayim refers to Torah. Shenema Ha'yikol Tzama L'Chol Mayim. Everybody is thirsty, go to the water. What's Meshalchei Regel, Asher V'Achamer? What's the comparison where the Meshalchei Regel, we explain, means that then they're able to send off the Yetzirah. What's the Shur and the Chamer? Tonet Ve'eliyahu, La'olam Yosim Adam Atme, Al-Divrei Torah, a person should always make himself, as, when it comes to learning Torah, Kishur La'ol V'Kachamer L'Masri, like an ox as far as bearing the yoke, and like a donkey as far as carrying the burden. So what's the comparison? A number of different mafarshim talk about different possibilities. One of them is that the Ben Yehoyada talks about. No, the difference is they do different things. So I'll tell you. So Ben Yehoyada gives an explanation. He says, what happens if a shur doesn't do the job right? You shecht it. On the other hand, a chamur is a treif animal. Once it uses out of useful life, fine. But if it's not doing the job, if it's not carrying the yoke, if it's not plowing properly, then what? Yeah. As opposed to the chamur, you don't do that. It's a treif animal. So what do? You beat it. So therefore, the vort is that a person has to be careful about divrei Torah. We learned before that a person separates themselves from divrei Torah miyad nesim. In that sense, he's like a shur. Or on the other hand, he can end up with yisurim, like a chamur. So therefore, be careful about that. Be careful. Don't be like the shur and don't be like the chamur. In other words,
it's connected to the previous thing
because we were talking about the importance of learning Torah. We talked before about Hashem teaching Torah. We talked about the greatness of we talked about the greatness of learning Torah, Balayla Shuda Yimi, that by night you learn Torah, and by day you have a Chut Shel Chesed. So this kind of finishes that off.
But is it connected to the
fact? Is it directly connected to the previous thing? Not. Well, maybe, because we were also talking about the fact that the Jewish people had the chance to be free of the Yetzirah.
Right.
But no, it's saying, even now, after the Jewish people missed that opportunity, this is another way to accomplish it, yeah. Another explanation is brought from the Chofetz Chaim. The vort is that the shur does the initial work. It does the plowing in order that you can plant. Later on, after the harvest is gathered in, then you put it on the chamur to carry to market or whatever. So the same way, a person has to be occupied in both parts of Torah, the initial preparatory part and the later part when you actually have a harvest of and when you're ready to go bear the burden and go teach it to others. Okay. Now we're done with Agadta. Now we get back to discussing our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Gimel Yomim also Laseis V'Laseis Imarim. That for 3 days, we said for 3 days before the Goyisha holidays, before the Eid, before the Eidehen Shal Goyim, you're not allowed to do business with them. Okay, so we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, you weren't here, that you have, the Tosfos talks about, and different other Rishonim talk about different Heterim, why we're allowed to nowadays, including maybe that the Goyim outside of Israel are not so into their Getchkes in the first place, the fact that maybe it's only certain kinds of things, maybe it's only certain kinds of buying and selling that are also with them, such as things that they can use for Korbanos, for their Getchkes, what else did we say over there? I mean, there's the practical fact. We live among them, and we have to do business with them. Otherwise, a person can't make a living. There's a matter of Ava, of bad feelings that could lead to anti-Semitism, that could lead to danger from the Goyim. There's a lot of different answers. Then you have the Meiri, who holds that Christians are not Odeh V'Dezora anyway. But you have
the Meiri holds that.
The Meiri holds that. Yeah. So it would mean, in other words, well, so what we're talking about over here, I mean, so we're going to discuss later on in the Gemara, we're going to discuss later on at the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph, what the underlying reason is over here, the problem. Is it that they're going to have what they can use, is it that they have profits and therefore they're going to go thank their Getchke, and therefore you're over on, you cause that they mention the name of their Getchke because of you? Or is it because of Lifnei Ivrei Sifin Michshel that you're selling them something that they can use for worshipping their Avodah Zarah? So the Chora, if you sell them toys for Havas of the Chora, no, it's not the same thing. One is that they're going to go thank their Getchke. The other is that you're actually causing them, you're giving them the opportunity to do an Avodah, to shecht an animal, for example, in honor of their Avodah Zarah. It's two different things. So with toys with Halloween, I guess, I mean, you know, they're not necessarily going to thank. One of the answers also is that nowadays commerce is a much more common thing. You don't have a person, you know, person goes and buys a toy, they're not going to go start thanking their Getchke for it necessarily. And they obviously don't use it to worship. They obviously don't use it to worship their Geshkes. So therefore, those are possible reasons why it might be worship.
So math is all the things they do
with it. Understood. But again, they use them in celebration of their holiday. They don't use them necessarily in worship for their holiday. There's a difference. Okay. And we'll see as we go through the Gemara. Okay. So the question is, Umiba inin kulahai. Assuming that we're talking about, let's say, selling them an animal. So what are we saying? You're not allowed to sell them an animal, let's say, 3 days before their holiday because they may end up using it as a carbon. So are we really concerned you need that much time? Well, it's not, but we see in a different connection, we see that when it comes to our Yomim Tovim, Lahavdil, that we see that it's usually expected. You buy an animal on the day you're going to shecht it. We learn in a Mishnah in Chulin. Now we know there's a mitzvah of oisei ves b'no. You're not allowed to shecht a mother animal and a baby animal on the same day. Well, when we get to Chulin next year, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about all the details of it. So ba'arba prakim bashana. There are 4 days during the year. If somebody sells a behemoth to somebody else, tzarich lahodia. He has to inform her. He has to inform the buyer. Ima machauti lishchait or bita machauti lishchait, that I sold, I've already sold the mother animal of this one that I'm selling you now, where they're planning to shecht it, or I've already sold the daughter animal where they're planning to shecht it, because in other words, the point is, these 4 times that we're talking about, most of the time a person buys an animal, not necessarily they're going to shecht it that day, but when it's right before the 4 Yom Tovim that we're going to discuss, then we expect the person is going to be buying an animal and shechting it on the same day, and then there would be a problem of Oisiv Esbenai, then you'll shecht them on the same day. So therefore, you have to inform. So if you sold the mother animal to Reuben, and now Shimon comes to buy an animal, and he wants to buy the daughter one, you have to inform him, I already sold the mother animal to Reuben, so be careful you don't shecht this one today. Even if it's different people, it would still be also. It would still be also. Whoever shechts the second one is... So today, practically speaking, you don't have. I mean, there's no chazaka that you have particularly have a mother and a baby animal in the same batch of animals that are being shechted. Here, we're talking about you selling individual animals. You know that this one is the mother. You know that this one is the daughter, and then therefore you have an issue. Yeah, but it's still not necessarily. They get their animals from all over the place. They get them from many different farms, and within one farm itself, you have many different. So here we're talking about when you know Vadai, that's one. A Suffolk, we don't have to worry about. Okay, so the Elohein, and these are them. Even in those days, for example, you sold a mother animal to Reuven just on an ordinary weekday, and now you want to sell the daughter animal to Shimon, you don't have to worry about it. There is the possibility that Reuven and Shimon might end up shechting on the same day, but you don't have to worry about it because the chazaka is that Reuven is not necessarily going to shecht it today. He may shecht it tomorrow, he may shecht it a week from now, whatever. Before Yom Tov, then we have a different assumption. Well, there's that too, but yeah. The Elohein, the 4 Yom Tovim are as follows. Erev Yom Tov Achon Shochag, the last day, the day before Shmini Atzeres, so Hashanah Rabbah. So Rashi explains that a number of these days are actually days when they brought Karbonis. And therefore the point is the last day when they bring the Karbonis of Sukkot. Some other Mephoshim talk about on the basis of the Gemara later on, and on various other considerations. Not necessarily are we talking about that. It's just the fact that once they have, because Shmini Atzeres, you have extra Simcha, therefore they would make extra large Sodas. So therefore you can assume that a person buys an animal, Hashanah Rabbah, he's going to shecht it that day. You could technically shecht it on Yom Tov, but then you have issues, well, if it's a wild animal, you have issues with Kisi Adam, but if it's domestic animals, you have other issues involved as well. What are you going to do with the skin? What are you going to do with the chalev or whatever? So as much as possible, people would try to shecht before Yom Tov. So Erev Yom Tov Achon Shachag.
B'dieved,
yeah. Erev Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. The next one is Erev Pesach. Yeah, Erev Pesach, because for the Korban Pesach, and again, because Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns we're not so much talking about Korbanos, we're talking about meat, chulin meat, that they would shecht for their sudas. So the point is, on Shmini Atzeres, you have extra simcha, because Vol Yisach Sameach. The first day, Pesach, you have extra simcha because of the Geula of the Jewish people. The Erev Atzeres, Erev Shavuos. because, again, Rashi explains because of the Kobanis. Tosis explains because Hakol Moedim Ba'aseres Be'inin Nami Lachem. We know that when it comes to Shavuot, everybody agrees, even the opinions that say that by other Yom Tovim, you don't have a particular mitzvah of eating meat and whatever, of Simcha, but by Shavuot, everybody agrees that you do.
To commemorate
Matan Torah. The Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Rosh Hashanah, because it's the beginning of the year, and therefore people want to make a good siman of it, the same way as we have all the simanim we eat on Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili add the fifth one also. Erev Yom Kippur in the Galil is also, it was very common that they would buy animals and shech them to have the Suddah before. Why just the Galil? Because Tosfos points out that in other places, usually they would eat chicken, they would eat fish or whatever. We have the famous story Tosfos mentioned of the tailor who bought a fish for 12 dinarim on Erev Yom Kippur. So in most places, they would eat lighter stuff on Erev Yom Kippur. And in the Galil, for whatever reason, the minhag was over there to eat animal meat.
Protecting the borders.
I don't know. Maybe. Whatever it is, the point is that we're not concerned now. Let's say, for example, it comes the first one. Let's say Shmini Atzeres. So we're concerned if we sell it Hashanah Rabbah, but we're not saying if you sell it the last 3 days of Chol HaMoed that you should have to be concerned. Why, Lahavdo, when it comes to the Goyish holidays over here, do you have to be concerned 3 days before? The answer is Hosam de Achila, because in that case, with Oisiv Esbenoi, you're dealing with you're buying these animals in order to shech them and eat them. Sagi b'chad yomah, so 1 day is enough. But in our Mishnah, we're talking about the Goyim are buying these animals in order to offer them as korbanos to their getchkes, but in Yomi. Then we need 3 days.
Why?
Because then they for 3 days they're busy looking for the best possible animal to shech for their avodah zarah. Okay, well then the question is Yomi. So now let's turn around the question. Are you telling me then that preparation for a korban requires only 3 days? For 30 days before Pesach, we ask about the dinim, we ask and we answer questions about the dinim of Pesach, meaning primarily the Korban Pesach. Rav Shimon Gamliel and Shtei Shabbosos, and Rav Shimon Gamliel for 2 weeks. We should ask, why is 3 days enough? We should say the Goyim, Lahavdil, the same thing. They take 30 days, they take 2 weeks or whatever. The answer is, Anan the shchichim mumin de pasu, because the difference is like this. By us, there are many different mumim that can make a korban pasul. Because afilu bedukin shabayin, even if the animal just has a cataract, or even if there's due to different explanations of dukin shabayin, either means the cataract or it means the eyelid. If the eyelid has a crack in it, for example, then the animal is pasul for a korban. But in Tlosa Yomim, therefore we need 30 days because you need to learn the halachas of what constitutes a mumin. You need to start looking for animals and shopping around and making sure you find one without a mumin. No, and we're not even talking about treifas, we're talking about mumin. It is true if the animal is treifa, it's not a valid korban either. Most treifas are internal. You're not going to be able to tell them without an x-ray. So most treifas are internal.
The lungs, the stomachs,
whatever.
Right. Maybe not.
I mean, that could be. I don't know.
He gives.
There's a famous hetter of Moshe on Cholov Akum per se, but Cholov HaCompany, as he calls it, where they have USDA supervision, where therefore
it's America,
he's talking about it. Yeah. They do. They have those cases where the animal has bloat or whatever, and therefore they make an incision into it. Yeah, I've read about that issue. Yeah, could be.
So therefore, because
milk from a tree for animal tree. Okay, that's something to discuss a different time. But yeah, all right. Anyway, inhu d'mechusta eva islahu by the goyim. Where now here we're going to talk about a din that applies only to korbanos that a goy wants to bring in honor of Hashem. But lahavdil, the same thing applies. They use the same rules when it came to their getchkes. That d'mechusta eva islahu, the only thing that is also for them to bring as a korban is an animal that's actually missing a limb. Therefore, it's lost a yomisagi. So therefore, 3 days is enough to look around for an animal that's good enough for a korban under their rules.
So when with this story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa,
because that was going to be brought in our Beis HaMikdash. That's going to be brought in our Beis HaMikdash. If a goy wants to bring a korban to our Beis HaMikdash, it has to follow our rules.
Uh-huh.
But if a goy wants to bring a korban on his own private bomo or whatever, which he's allowed to do, even now, by the way, even nowadays, a goy is allowed to do that. Even though there's no Beis Hamikdash, a goy is allowed to bring a korban for Hashem wherever in the world he wants. Yeah. So then,
doesn't Tosis' approach make more sense? Because, like, he focuses on achila, and Rashi somewhat focuses on akrava because he's speaking about shalom
hadikah. That's true. As a matter of fact, the Tosfos Rid asks that question on Rashi. Why is Rashi focusing on the 4 days are days when they bring karbonis? If the Gemara is over here, it's making a distinction between eating and akrava. So yeah, that's what leads Tosfos and the other Mephoshim, that's part of what leads them to say that primarily we're talking about eating. And the Tosfos Rid says even Rashi may mean, yes, you bring karbonis on those days, but because you bring karbonis, therefore there's more simcha, and therefore you also shecht more animals for cholin to accompany the karbonis.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's not even referring to the Shalmei Chagig, it's referring to
It's not even necessarily referring to the Karbanos themselves,
wow.
Right.
Okay.
So therefore, by the Goyim, it's only Mechusar Eber is also the Amar Rabbi Elazar, as we find that Rabbi Elazar says, Minayim the Mechusar Eber do also live Bnei Noach. How do we know that Bnei Noach are not allowed to bring a korban that is missing a limb? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, when Noach is taking the animals into the Teva, Hashem tells him, when we call Achai, we call Basar, from all the living, from all flesh, Shnayim Mikol, two of every kind of animal, and seven of the kosher ones later on. So what's the word Mikol Hachai? Omra Torah, Hove Behema Shachayin Rosh Eivorim Shalom. It means Hashem is telling Noach, only bring in animals where the limbs of it, where the ends of the limbs are still alive. In other words, that it's not missing or dried up or whatever limbs. So that's where we see. And since we see that Noach, that some of these animals that Noach brought in were to be used for korbanos, therefore we learn those are the rules for Bnei Noach. That they can't be mechusar eiver, but they are allowed to have other kinds of mumim. Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting point. If we're saying that it's also for Bnei Noach to bring an animal that's mechusar eiver, why don't we count it as one of the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? And the answer is because we talked about the other day, the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are only things that are loiseh says. Here, what it is you have an esser, which is that when a goy makes a promise to bring a korban, he's obligated to do it. And included in that is make sure that it's something fit for a korban, and therefore mechusar eiver is not fit, is something unfit for a korban. So it's not really a separate loiseh esser; it's like a deduction from the esser. Okay, so the question is, how do you learn what's a terefa? What do you mean? The word hochai, we need to learn it. We need that to teach us that Noach is not to bring into the teva any animals that are terefa. Okay, the answer is terefa. Malachai is zera nafka. Fine, we can learn that you're not supposed to bring in a terefa from a different thing that Hashem tells him a few psukim later, that you're bringing in these animals, lachayas zera, to keep alive seed. In other words, you want animals that are going to be able to have children. A terefa is not able to have children. The question is, that's actually the subject of a machlokes in Cholin. That works according to the opinion that a trefa is not able to have children, and therefore the Gemara mentions over there in Cholin that if you have
cases of trefa,
of all the various kinds of trefas, whether you list them as you have eight major categories of trefas, the Mishnah the Mishnah divides them into 18 trefas, the Rambam further subdivides them into 70, whatever it is, one of the definitions is, if an animal is trefa, if it has any of these conditions, it's incapable of having children. It's too weak as a result of the lesion or whatever that it has to be able to have children. And in fact, that comes up in halacha when you were learning.
See the other way around. If you can have
children. No. Well, so that's the point. In other words, for example, let's say in Cholin it talks about, we'll learn about it when we get to Pelek El Trefas, Bez Hashem. But for example, if you have an animal that is Suffolk Trefa, what you can do is you wait until it becomes pregnant and gives birth to live young, or in the case of a chicken, that it lays a full batch of eggs or whatever, and then you know it's not Trefa. So El Alamanda Am a Trefa Yeledis, but according to the opinion that even an animal that is Trefa is still able to give birth, my Ikalamema, then what are you going to say? You can't learn that you shouldn't have Trefas from Machayas Zera. Necessarily, therefore, you're learning it from Mikol Achai. So how can you use Mikol Achai to learn not Trefas and also not Machot Zereva? The answer is Omakra Itcha.
You would double use it.
Yeah, how can you use the same pasuk for double usage, right? So the answer is because the pasuk is Itoch. Hashem says, bring in animals Itoch with you, which means bedoymin loch, meaning Hashem says, bring animals that are similar to you. You yourself are not a trefa, Therefore, make sure the or mechoser eiver, and therefore the animals shouldn't be. Therefore the animals shouldn't be treifa either. So we can learn treifa from that. We still have available the word mikolachai to mean that there shouldn't be mechoser eiver. There shouldn't be missing a limb. It doesn't mean that he was a tzaddik like him, obviously, but what it means is b'dayman loch, that's physically like you, that's not a tzareifa.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the question. The German noyach gufei tzareifa haba. How do you know maybe noyach himself was a tzareifa? Okay, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't answer the question. Actually, Tosfos asked the question.
How would you say that he was?
Well, you could say he had a problem with his lungs or whatever. But so Tosfos points out, we know Noach lived 350 years after the Mabul, so obviously he couldn't be a Tzareifa. But the point is, Noach himself might not have had a way of knowing. At that point, he didn't know if he might be a Tzareifa, whether maybe he has something in his lungs or his heart. Before the Mabul, when Hashem is telling him to gather together the animals, he has no way of knowing, he didn't have x-rays, to know that he's not a Tzareifa himself. So therefore, maybe he could think to himself, okay, maybe I'm a Tzareifa. In that case, maybe the animals themselves could be Tzareifas as well that I bring in. How is he supposed to know that he himself is not a Tzareifa, such that he should know that Itoch means animals that are not Tzareifa like you?
If he was a Tzareifa, why would the Eibush to tell him to go to the Teva if he wouldn't last 24 hours?
No, he wouldn't last a year. So fine, the Mabul will last the Mabul will last a year. Fine, you'll become a Tzareifa just as you become into the Tzareifa. And then that's it. You'll live for a year, and then as soon as the Mabul is over, yeah. Okay, the answer is tomim k'sivei. Yes, but the pasuk describes noyach as tomim, which means perfect, which means not a tzareifa. Okay, the question is, v'duma tomim b'dirachav haya. Maybe it only means he's perfect in his action, in his ways. He was an onav, he was humble. No, but it's a tzaddik k'sivei. For that, the pasuk says he was a tzaddik. Okay, v'duma tomim b'dirachav tzaddik b'maisav haba. Maybe it means both. He was a tomim in his midos, that he was humble, etc. He was a tzaddik in his actions, that he didn't do chomos or whatever. Still, how do you know? It means that he was physically not a traitor. Yeah. The answer is loy sakadai the noyach gufe treifa havoi. Fine, but you can't think that Noach himself was a treifa. The e sakadai the noyach treifa hava, because if you're going to think that Noach conceivably could have been a treifa at this point, or that he might think that he was a treifa at this point, like Tosef says, what would the logic be? Would Hashem be telling him only bring in treifa animals? Don't bring animals that are not treifa. That would be that wouldn't make sense. But obviously the implication is, if Hashem is telling him itzach, it must mean faket. Hashem is certifying to him you are not treifa. Therefore, the animals that you bring in shouldn't be treifa either. Incidentally, I mean, you have the, we could ask, we'll stop over here because my time, but you have to ask the question. So how is Noach supposed to know which animals are treifa and which aren't? So actually, it's brought in Sefer Chassidim that there are, in principle, there are ways to know with an animal while it's alive. In principle, there are ways to know whether it's a treifa or not. He mentions. No, well, if you have an X-ray, obviously, but in Sefer. Okay. In Sefer Chassidim, it talks about, for example, you put your hand on the animal's back. If it arches back downward, like it shows that it shows like a certain degree of humility or whatever, then it shows it's not a treifa. It's not 100% foolproof, obviously. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to do bedikah when you shift an animal. But nevertheless, Noach could use mechanism, could use means.
A cat does. I mean, a cat is not
a treifa animal. We're not talking about that. We're talking among kosher. We're talking among kosher animals. Among kosher animals, and therefore, the Noach could use means like that or other means like that to determine whether animals are treifa or not. No, but a doctor wouldn't necessarily be able to tell. Does it have some internal defect? Does it have a hole in its lung? Does it have a... you examine it, you still, without an x-ray, how are you supposed to tell? Okay.
It's interesting that Rashi, on Haman Bays on the bottom, he says that, hey, Zumia, the Karbonish, and Nagua, they say him, hey, Noigan, Lavedis, Kachaman, as if they were looking at...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, do they really care what Noach did?
No, but in other words, they inherited from their parents, so they inherited a knowledge from their parents of what kind of things are appropriate for Korbanos and what are not. And even though they corrupted it and ended up using it for Avodah Zarah, nevertheless, they still kept those same basic rules. They had no particular reason to change those rules.
Minig Avotenu.
Yeah, Minig Avotenu Bidenu, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to talk about the Shem. Yeah.
Okay.